Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or middle of the night, maybe. Hello, my friend. Here we are. I'm actually recording this week's LoveGram in advance because I am not going to be around this coming weekend, but I'm thinking of you, and I didn't want to miss the chance to have our weekly connection. The weird thing is right now there's so much going on in the world and so much uncertainty and heartache and grief, and I'm recording this in advance and thinking, gosh, I don't know what's going to be happening next weekend when this lands in your inbox. So I guess I'm saying this by way of a little bit of a apology, maybe, in case there's something that happens and I'm not responding to it. That's why. And it's, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot this morning, which is this thing of, I recently sent a friend a really fun birthday gift to just kind of, you know, whimsical and something I knew would make her laugh. But between the time that I put it in the mail and that she received it, there was a tragedy. One of their best friends committed suicide. And there's the chance that our best efforts to bring love and joy to someone might land at a time when it seems insensitive. However, the reason I'm saying this is my hope is that you know that I'm showing up for you early. I'm showing up for you in a way that may, by the time it arrives, be insensitive because I love you. And I want you to know that I'm thinking of you, and I didn't want the chance to miss our weekly connection. So here I am. Let's play a little bit more music, and then I'll tell you why, what this is. So this is called Ink Dip by Lady Rizzo, R-I-Z-O. I'm guessing it's Rizzo, not Rizzo. And it's a song that I somehow associate with the Edwardian Ball, which is an event here in San Francisco that is, they haven't held it for the last couple of years because of the pandemic, but this year they're having it again, and Ian and I are going to go. And it's an interesting thing. Obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but it's been on my mind a lot that what is it? You know, what is it to go to an Edwardian ball when people are suffering so much, right? And I know you and I, we've been talking about this week after week after week, and it just continues to be something that I, you know, it's like I pull out of the drawer each morning to look at again, you know, to look at this idea of joy in times of great suffering. And, you know, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but this is something we all have to just keep looking at, right? Which is that this world, this beautiful and broken world, this beautiful, loving, full of just great, great connection and beauty, is also full of so much grief and illness and tragedy and sorrow. It's always all there. Last week, in fact, well, 2 weeks ago, you know, we talked about that, holding it all. And so here we are, or here I am, planning this LoveGram in advance because I'm going to be attending this Edwardian ball and all of its eye candy and frivolity and music and dancing. And I just want to say to you that I'm holding it all, right? I'm holding the joy and the excitement of planning it. I'm really looking forward to having some special time, not just with Ian, but being in the world in a new way again. Still, I feel as if, you know, we've been hunker down even recently in many ways. And so there haven't been a lot of opportunities to be with new people and to, you know, to dance, to feel festive. So what do I want to say about that? I think what I want to do, this is just dropping in. I'm going to pause this recording for a minute. I'm going to read you something that I think I read you part of before. I can't remember. I don't think it was quite done, but I want you to listen with fresh ears. I think this is the best way to say what I want to say today. I'll be right back, okay? Okay, so hi, I'm back. And this is a piece that I wrote for a free write. And it's called What It's Like to Wear a Jaunty Burlesque Hat While Children with Cancer Are Evacuated from Ukraine. Back when the pandemic was still the big headline, before the elderly were stumbling across rocky terrain near a bombed-out bridge in Irpin, before the sick children were clutching their bedraggled teddy bears and trying to sleep on the evacuation train to Poland, my friend Lori somberly said, "We're letting go of our shallow aspirations." I shook my head. "No way," I said. "Not me. I'm lining up my shallow aspirations. I'm collecting them, dusting them off, showing them to dinner guests, and building them a house. My shallow aspirations are dialing my number all day long. They knock on the door and sing saucy songs while they wait for me to answer. They wear that jaunty little burlesque hat with the big feather sploosh, the one with tiny strings snug under the jaw so it sits askew on my head. They don the fingerless lace gloves, the beaded purse, the little lacy anklet socks. My shallow aspirations waltz at the Edwardian ball. They sip cappuccino at the ferry building, the sun bright in the sky, and all the tourists smiling because they're alive and the ground is solid beneath them. My shallow aspirations clap their hands along with the cheerful clang, clang, clang of the trolley. My shallow aspirations use excessive amounts of lavender salts in an extra hot bath. They use the soft white washcloth my mother embroidered with colorful flowers. My shallow aspirations are wearing my pink combat boots and the cherry blossom hat. They're riding a tandem bicycle through Golden Gate Park. They're waving to strangers and smiling big, even beneath their mask. My shallow aspirations are walking from one magnolia marker to another in the botanical gardens. They're pointing. "This Yulan is from China, looks like a tiny bird. And that drooping, striving white whose seed started in India. This purple beauty from Nepal. This hybrid of white and pink was created in 1908 by a man who had an eye for making more beauty." My shallow aspirations are taking long, deep breaths, noticing how one magnolia smells savory like cinnamon and another more sweet. My shallow aspirations are inviting me to dinner. They're putting out the linens and using the fun, sun-shaped napkin rings. They're lighting candles. They're printing silly signs that make my family laugh. They giggle. They burp out loud and blush wildly. They strip the bed and wash the sheets and sprinkle sweet powders. They're using all the best things that we've always saved for later. I'm holding tight to all my shallow aspirations. I give them pet names. I put them in all my pockets. I kiss their tiny seashell ears. I listen when they whisper at night or on the bridge. I write down their poems. I'm learning to speak their language. I ask them to plan parties, and when they do, I nudge them to play rollicking piano tunes. My shallow aspirations fold up the rug, kick off their shoes, and dance, each to their own unique beat. My shallow aspirations crowd the house and make joyful noise. They drop pastry crumbs on the floor and turn the music up louder, and their dress straps slip down, revealing lacy purple bras and silky underthings. Let go of my shallow aspirations? Oh no, never, my dear. I'm writing love letters to each and every one. I'm buying them train tickets. I'm putting flowers for them in all the guest rooms. I'm stocking up on pinwheels and poetry. I'm holding each one tight as she arrives and whispering yes, yes, yes to every single one. Because, my friend, you must know this. When the terrible winds kick in and the rains come, when our neighbors' rooms fill with tears, we must be strong enough to bail and bail and bail. We must grow our arms even longer to hold up everyone who can no longer stand. We must make enough food for those who are hungry and sew clothes for those who are cold. We must taste a little like sugar. We must smell a little like lilac. We must play the music of their ancestors and crochet rainbow love around their sweetest hearts. We must grow gardens of all our shallow aspirations so we can gobble them up to fuel ourselves for the impossible mission ahead. Let those shallow aspirations be the jumper cables for our clunker car hearts. Let them turn us into honey to sweeten oceans of bitter tea. Let them make us into snow-white butterflies who flit by, bringing winged hope to those who cry for help. Let our shallow aspirations roll up their crinoline sleeves and don the Red Cross brassard. Let them tear strips of tutu to bandage the wounded. Let them softly sing their sweet songs in the ringing ears of the one who limps to some unknown safety, shrapnel still in her leg, a sobbing toddler in her arms. We must melt the sugar of our shallow aspirations and drip its sweetness into that mother's mouth. We must become buskers, us and our shallow aspirations. We will set that feathered dance hat on the sidewalk as we perform songs from the old country. We will collect coins that make a mountain of compassion. We put our hearts on a plane laden with soft love. We send suitcases of monies, breads, and honeys. And when we arrive where we are needed, we will remove that feathered hat with a flourish. We will empty our pockets of everything. We will give it all away. Let our shallow aspirations be shooting stars for those who cry in the dark. Let them be a roadmap, a peace plan, a promise of what's to come for everyone. Thank you for letting me read that to you. I've not read that aloud, and it was super helpful for me because this is the center that, for me, holds everything. It's the center that I keep returning to over and over, not just now in this horrible time of this war, but, you know, during the pandemic, during the political upheavals, during all of the times in our world where there's unspeakable violence and grief. And what I keep coming back to is that it does no one any good for me to deny the joy that is here in my life, because it is that joy. And I mean this, you know, what that piece said, it is that joy that fuels my deepest generosity. And I think this is probably true for most of us. I hope you'll look for yourself and see. But when I am filled with vitality and life force, I want that for everyone. And I want to do whatever's right in front of me to help other people. And if I allow myself to simply, again, to be overwhelmed with the state of the world, all I'm going to do is cower in a corner. And again, that doesn't serve anyone. What serves people is for us to have our greatest love, to have our greatest joy, to have the greatest amounts of energy and abundance so that our well is overflowing. There's so much that we have to give to others because we have so much ourselves. That's where I keep coming back to. Love, joy, connection to people, truly feeling grateful for what is in our lives right here and now, and always from that place asking the world, how can I help? How can I help? How can I help? Listen, I love you so much. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Thank you for always being there to, you know, respond to the questions I ask or reflect on these sorts of things. I really believe that the way that we understand ourselves better is through conversations like this together. Hand in hand, just like Ram Dass said, we're all just walking each other home. I love you. Bye-bye.